commissioner about this. I know it's very important to the commissioner to allow DEC to do monitoring, and I think the provisions that we have in here are similar to what Senator Murkowski's bill allows for, and I think is the appropriate step. It allows for monitoring and reporting to DEC. And I guess there's the, within the approaches, I equate it, I call it kind of the heavy hand of government. I mean, because if you allow DEC to come in, and while I'm not saying Commissioner Brown is so inclined, but as I stated to her, my concern is there are those who may have an adverse opinion toward the industry who want to use their ability through inspections to beat up the industry and to use it as a real club. And so I think we have to use that power, give that display some great discretion when utilizing that authority or extending that authority, because it's immense. You can ruin an entire industry very quickly, or certainly, if not an industry, certainly a company, by having selective enforcement and going after them with testing. And I'm not saying they would, but it certainly is possible.
Mr.
And that's really why I object. Representative Davies?
There is no way that you could use this as a heavy-handed tool if they're not breaking the law. You know, this is monitoring. This is measuring the releases of pollutants, monitoring and studying the environmental impacts. If there isn't the data there to use that, then you know, and I can't, for the life of me, I can't understand why you wouldn't want to know and why you wouldn't want to give our state government the authority to know what's going on in our waters.
And what information are they going to gather that's going to be any different than what's being submitted? The point is, Representative Davies, I think there's a presumption of guilt versus the presumption of innocence. And in my approach, I think it's presumption of innocence. Representative Davies?
I guess the question is, it's sort of the Ronald Reagan deal, you know, trust but verify. I think you have to have some independent ability to verify whether, in fact, the laws are being broken. If you don't have the ability to go in and audit somebody's books, you don't know nothing. And in this case, if you don't have the authority to go in and actually monitor what's being released, you're relying entirely on some third party or on the fact the federal government might be collecting some other data that's not directly related to your concern. It could be, and we heard testimony that if that data's related to some kind of environmental enforcement on their part, we may never get a hold of it.
I mean, I'm sympathetic with the point you're making, Representative Davies, but the thought just escaped me. Representative Crowley.
It's that time of night. Right? Yeah. I do think you have a legitimate point, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure this is the one that it concerns, though. I mean, there are sections of these amendments we'll look at or consideration of any bill of this type where... maybe it goes more to the fees part that we were talking about, the fines part. You know, if it's a $200,000 or $1 million fine, you really could bankrupt something. And this might be a license for too much government spending or meddling, if you would. That would be the danger, I guess, of this. But I'm not sure how it costs some money. They have that irritating person standing in the corner watching what they're discharging and releasing. Some of those are ridiculous extremes. I guess that would be the extreme here. It isn't so much about the amount of fines or when they can take them or whatever. It's their ability to monitor. And the one example we have, the Royal Caribbean example, where they were polluting all over the world, apparently got caught in Florida, but they were also polluting in Lynn Canal. It was a physical inspection that allowed them to tell that. They got other information, did a physical inspection, and then at the next port, when the pipes didn't match up, if I understand their factual description, they were able to determine, there's something going on. But you really can't do it without the direct monitoring authority, or it seems like it'd be difficult.
Well, I think you can. The thought came back to me. I mean, as you said, Representative Davies, if you have reason to suspect that there is something wrong through the, either through the monitoring of the books, the analyzation of the books, or through other means, as in this case with Royal Caribbean, through the Coast Guard's observation with the whatever technology they utilized, if you've got the ability to suspect a reason to believe, you certainly would have the ability to go in and inspect and do an inspection.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I'm not sure how to read this because I don't know all the context. But it, you know, the number two is monitoring and studying of direct or indirect environmental impacts of those vessels. So if they don't have this authority, if you're specifically saying they can't do this kind of stuff, then that would mean that they couldn't measure toxicity effects on clams, or you know, I mean. That's a, I don't know if it's a direct or indirect environmental impact, but it's probably pretty direct. So I guess that's what I don't understand. Why wouldn't you allow the department the authority to measure what's going on?
Well, they could certainly go out and measure the toxicity of clams if they want to. It's just in relation to the funding stream that's supplied by here, it's not prescribed or allowed for.
Well, why not? I mean, if there's reason to believe that the cruise ship industry is impacting somebody's shellfish operation, why wouldn't we want them to pay for the investigation of that?
Representative Whitaker?
Well, under the public health statute or section of DEC's current statutes, they can do that currently.
Yeah, but we don't give them the money to do that.
They don't have a budget currently?
Yeah.
Okay.
It takes money to do a monitoring program, and unless we give them the money somewhere or the ability to collect it with fees, they aren't going to be able to do it.
Representative Croft?
And that's the sense, I guess, where it comes back to your concern. I still think it's that because the industry pays for this program, there is some financial impact to having the monitoring. Then that at least does come back to money, but I still don't think it's as onerous or even potentially onerous as all that. I think this is a fairly essential part of making sure that these discharges aren't improper and should logically be part of the program that was paid for by these fees. And it's a very strange hybrid program if they can. It's very odd what they can do if they can't do this. If they can't monitor and study the direct or indirect environmental impacts of the vessels through the program, if they can't put somebody on board to measure the discharges or releases with the program, they're very confined in what they actually can do with this fee-supported program.
Representative Whitaker?
I would just counter, Mr. Chairman, and say that there's nothing that keeps them from doing that currently other than management of their own budget, and in addition to that, it appears that there are data gathering systems in place through EPA and Coast Guard. So it seems to me that the argument that we are creating a redundancy and building a bureaucracy whose only goal at this point then would be to find something wrong with this industry has a very, very valid point.
Representative Croft.
Real quickly, I think we're going to fix this, but on page 10, as it stands now, they only have the authority to adopt regulations that are necessary to implement exemptions.
So we're going to fix that, Representative Croft.
I really think without this, we have the statute. There's two things. One, in this section that we're going to fix, and I believe we are, Mr. Chairman, we specifically deny them regulatory authority, except for exemptions. But in all good regulation, you need the statutory authority. You need it positively. And this would give it, and without it, I don't think they have it. That makes any sense.
Representative Davies.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Chairman, in every other industry, we have a kind of a fee structure where we deal with how we're going to monitor and how we're going to, you know, it's usually part of the permit process. And actually, Representative Whitaker has a good point in terms of what the budget, you know, where the money should come from. And I think the approach maybe that would be best to this would be to go back to the same rationale that we had under the fee bill on a kind of a 50-50 basis. Although I don't know, I really don't know what kind of, maybe we could get someone from the department to comment on what sort of the costs are involved here, but because I don't know the order of magnitude that we're talking about here, but from a matter of principle, I mean, I agree with Representative Whitaker in the sense that under their general authority and under our general concern about, you know, maintaining the health of our waterways and the health of our people, that DEC should have the authority to do some of this kind of monitoring. The practical fact is, though, that their budget is very limited in terms of general funds. The vast majority of DEC's budget is federal money, which has a very specific string attached to it, and you can't use it for that. So, you know, I think it is, as a practical matter, their budget does constrain them from doing very much of this. So maybe can we get somebody from DEC to comment on that issue itself?
I think they already have third-party monitoring through the Coast Guard.
Can you ask them under the table, please?
I don't think there is anybody from...
Yeah, there is. Right there.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Good evening, Ms. Chair. My name is Mike Conway. I'm the director of the Statewide Public Service Division of DEC. So, Mr. Chair, Representative Davies, this is a component of what we consider essential, as Representative Croft mentioned, for verification. In other words, through the process of receiving reports, the agency needs the ability to do spot checks or come back in and take a look at a certain ship operation where the analysis reports are showing there's something wrong. Currently, the state does not have the authority to be able to board a vessel to do that. So if we don't have...
To that point, they don't have the ability to board a vessel even though they suspect something's wrong?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. How we end up doing that is working with the Coast Guard, and then the master of the vessel, owner, operator has to allow that, yes, okay, they have to say, you can come aboard. But we cannot assert any state authority to say, I need to come on board and do that.
So you have, but there are means to get on board?
There are means going through those processes, yes, Mr. Chair.
Say, Uncle May I?
And as far as, then what happens is monitoring and study the director, monitoring and studying of direct or indirect environmental impacts, that is envisioned to be a third-party process, that there are, we aren't trying to create a DEC bureaucracy where we have people that are going to be going out in the field and doing that with the focus on the cruise ships. We have, in the fiscal notes that we've provided on previous bills, the ability to be able to hire third-party contractors to do that analysis work, much like what has been done during the cruise ship initiative, only that has been paid by us going to the industry and say, pretty please, will you pay for this? So this would give us the ability, if we can use the fees for that, that we would be able to direct that or have it being done. The other thing that's key about it, though, is that through the, if we have the ability to do regulations on how it's done, we have committed to not duplicating anything that the Coast Guard or EPA is doing. They would be partners as well as the operators themselves and people in the local communities. So it would be a process to be able to do that. And then the research ways to reduce impacts is just another area where we're not funded to do right now. If we want to get into visiting the manufacturers of MSDs or following, you know, some of these new systems or even doing a technical review, we just don't have funding or the expertise to do that right now.
Representative Davies, all sounds fine and good, but, you know, the reality is it's not going to be you nor I nor the gentleman here doing these inspections. There are other people who may have far different motivations than you or I or this gentleman. And it's a real philosophical question in my mind about how heavy-handed we want to allow government to become. Representative Bundy?
Well, and as far as allowing departments to use fees or penalties, you know, we've had problems before where allowing law enforcement to have fines has caused overzealous enforcement, and you know, there's a problem that I don't think we want to get into.
Wrap up, Representative Davies?
My amendment, he can't wrap it up.
I'm going to wrap it up.
Oh,
wrap him up in the mouth.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess you know, there's always a danger that, you know, somebody can become more. But, you know, we recognize the need to have police, and we allow them to have guns, and we allow them to arrest people and do all kinds of pretty drastic stuff, you know, in the name of having, you know, the public good and order. I think that there has to be some, there have to be checks and balances on these things, obviously, but the state needs ultimately to have the authority to get this information, and we shouldn't have to set ourselves up in a position where we have to go to Uncle Sam and say, may I please get you to help me go talk to these bad guys? I mean, when there is a bad actor, we need to have a hammer. When it's just ordinary situation, you know, the department has committed as a general principle and specifically with respect to this, to do what's essentially negotiated rulemaking, to bring everybody to the table, to coordinate with all the agencies involved, and to try to not duplicate effort. They've made that good faith commitment on this specific legislation and as a general policy. So, well, you know, yeah, it's possible it could go wrong, but it's also possible that it could go right, and we need to balance those two things.
Any further debate? Amendment number 7.
Representative Manchester.
No.
Representative Whitaker.
No.
Representative Bundy.
No.
Representative Kropp.
Yes.
Representative Davies.
Yeah.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Harris.
No.
Representative Williams.
No.
Representative Mulder.
No.
2 yea, 7 nay.
So amendment number 7 fails. Representative Davies, I guess this is yours.
I'm going to withdraw this one, Mr. Chairman.
Right. One second, please. At ease. We have some duplication between amendments. I just want to clarify. So I have no objection to the adoption of amendment number 10. Is there any other objection? Hearing none, amendment number 10 is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to let Croft wrap up that one, but I guess.
And a fine job he did.
All right. Amendment number 11?
Move amendment number 11.
There's no objection, Representative Kropp. Is there any other objection to amendment number 11? Amendment number 11 is adopted.
See how much faster that goes, Mr. Chairman?
Amendment number 12, Representative Davies.
Move 12.
Amendment number 12, there's no objection. Is there anybody else that objects to amendment number 12? Hearing none, amendment number 12 is adopted. Don't tell anybody I'm getting soft. Let's see, I've lost the hallucination.
Just don't get waterlogged, okay?
let's see, it's that brings amendment number 13. Representative Davies, is it up to you? Kropp. Representative Kropp.
Move 13.
Object. Representative Kropp.
And this comes back to an issue we heard a fair amount. And, you know, I do think that the testifiers, particularly Rob, made an excellent point about wanting to know about the offloading. We're talking here about the removal of the pollutants. It's not defined currently, I think, that we should, and that we should know about it, and it's a reporting requirement. If they offload it at Juneau to be burned at the incinerator or offload it anywhere else, we'd like to know so we can plan and so we can monitor.
And I just repeat, you know, I think this partially goes back to what I visited with Representative Davies about in relation to crafting an amendment relating to RCRA.
Yeah,
and the information, the exchange of information. I think it's duplication that's not necessary at this point in time. Representative Davies?
Well, I don't think that information is available any other way from the testimony we heard.
Any further discussion on amendment number 13? Hearing none, Moran?
Representative Whitaker?
No.
Representative Bundy?
No.
Representative Kraft?
Yes.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Harris?
No.
Representative Lancaster?
No.
Representative Mulder?
No.
Representative Williams?
No.
GA 7A.
1 second.
So amendment number 13 is failed. Representative Kraft
was
bring the committee back to order. Amendment number 16, Representative Davies?
Yeah, we'll
hold off on 14 and 15. Depending upon number 16.
In conjunction with 4, we can kind of deal with all those together.
Okay.
16, I move it.
Object, Representative Davies.
Mr. Chairman, how could you object to this? It's just telling us what should be in the report.
There you go. Question.
Question to Representative Whitaker.
I'd like to have just a brief idiot to read it, if I might put it in.
Call the committee back to order. Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The language indicates to me that, particularly by item number 2, that there is an assumption of guilt, the evaluation of pollution control and abatement, meaning that it's already assumed that something is amiss. And then when we do put it in the context of technologies on the vessel, I'm having difficulty understanding what that means. Perhaps the maker of the amendment could help me understand the amendment. I'm trying.
Could I get Representative Curtula to comment on that? Because she knows more the context of this. I can give you why I think so. But
if I might.
Yes, Representative Curtula.
Quickly, and I've got Mr. Conway with me from DEC, but the bottom line is that this is what the industry does now. It does pollution control and abatement. When you go on the ships, you go through a whole series of controls so that they don't release pollutants and so that they do practice abatement. You watch, you go down, you see their garbage separating, how they compact it, how they incinerate, how they deal with it. So this is what the industry does right now. It's not a presumption of any kind. This is just simply what it does. So it'd be nice to be able to evaluate that so we know what kind of controls are necessary or not. Stating it correctly.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
And Representative Curtula, I would respond by saying that this is going, I mean, we've had extensive discussion about pollutants as opposed to gray water and sewage and gray water. And this goes right back toward that discussion again.
Could I briefly respond? Thank you, Mr. Chair. And respectfully, I disagree. This doesn't have anything to do with the definitions. It doesn't go back into the bill at all in terms of any substance. This is a report that's completely separate on things that the industry does now, that the industry does do this, and they will tell you that when you go through the ships, they show it to you. This is the report section, not the definitions.
In its report, it says the risks marine human environments posed by releases and offloadings. Why are we having them issue reports about the risks to the marine and human environments posed by the releases and offloadings as opposed to the discharge of sewage and gray water? I mean, this bill is about the water. It's not about the pollutants and offloadings or pollution control and abatement. It's about the discharges that they're putting into the waters. I mean, that's what the reports are about.
Mr. Chairman, may I reply?
Certainly.
Well, of course, number one, we'll give you a more complete report. Your substance of your bill is about water, this will certainly give you a broader picture and let you know whether there's anything else that you would like to be controlling. So at a minimum, the report may completely exonerate the industry, or it may point out a problem. The second part of it, though, what we were talking about in terms of pollution, again, is just exactly what happens with the industry. And, of course, releases and offloadings happen as well. So this is the report section. It doesn't have to do with the substance of the bill. It has to do with getting good information so that we make reasonable decisions about how we deal with the industry. I don't think the industry itself, you know, really has much of a problem with seeing DEC do a full report so that it knows what it's doing. But it's a, this is a report section.
I understand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion on amendment number 16? Lan?
Representative Lancaster.
No.
Representative Whitaker.
Yes.
Representative Bundy.
No.
Representative Kroc.
Yes.
Representative Davies.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Harris.
No.
Representative Williams.
No.
Representative Mulder.
No.
3A and 6.
So amendment number 16 fails. Amendment number 17, I believe, is unnecessary with the adoption of a previous amendment.
What is 17? What is 17?
No, it's this one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Amendment number 18, are you interested in having me offer?
I'm sorry, now I'm having a mind blank. What does it do?
It is the fees. If you read it, it just says the fee described in the section.
The sunset, isn't it?
Right. Well, it softens the sunset is what it does.
Yeah, we did. You're right, of course, Mr. Chairman. We discussed it briefly, but I'm just having trouble pulling it back up. Right now, we have maybe move it and we'll discuss it. Or I don't know what the best way to discuss it is. Except to,
Okay, call the committee back to order. I will move amendment number 18, and briefly just to describe it, it does remove the repealer. It does leave the fee structure in place. It does what's somewhat dampen it or soften the repealer in the sense that it ties it back to the report coming back. It does leave the fee structure in place in the statute, and it does put some teeth to the report coming back saying you've got to justify that this program is working and is worthwhile in order to justify doing it again. So, is there any objection to the adoption of amendment number 18? Hearing none, it is adopted. Amendment number 19, before I move it, there are basically four parts to it. The third portion, which is page 4, lines 9 through 15, I believe have already been done. So I delete that portion. So you've got page 3, line 31, page 4, line 7, and page 14, line 31 remaining. And with that, I would move amendment number 19.
Oh, Jack, just to figure it out, are you sure that on page 4, line 9 through 15, that has already been deleted? Is that the way you're talking about?
I'm deleting it from this amendment. I believe it's already been done in amendment 3.
Okay. And then what does the other parts do then, Mr. Chairman?
It takes away, if you'd like, I can read. It comes under prohibited discharges, limitations on discharges. Under subsection B, it would now read, it would read, except as in provided in F of this section or AS 4603488, a person may not discharge treated sewage from a commercial passenger vessel into the marine waters of the state that has a fecal coliform bacterial count greater than 200 colonies per 100 milliliters or suspended solids greater than 150 milligrams per liter. And then under C, it would now say, except as provided in F of this section or AS 4603488, beginning January 1st, 2003, a person may not discharge gray water from a commercial passenger vessel into the marine waters of the state that has a fecal coliform. What it does is it addresses the legal issue that Mr. Tillery referenced earlier, that we cannot adopt something that is a federal regulation that is not in place. So it puts into statute the counts, the allowable counts for discharge. I Representative Davies, what I did is I had legal, if you want, draft me the how it looked and what got eliminated. It made it a lot easier to read. If you want to take a quick at ease so you can look at it.
Yeah, well, just if I could have a quick at ease just to read.
Sure.
Great. Folks, meeting back to order. I will amend my motion on amendment number 19. As I said, there were four portions. We deleted the third portion. I'll also move to delete, as an amendment to the amendment, I'll move to delete the second portion as well, the page 4, line 7. I believe it is duplicative to the amendment that was already adopted. So is there an objection to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing none, that portion is deleted. So the only portions we're dealing with now are lines 1 through 3 of the amendment and lines 12 through 14. With that, I'll again move the amendment number 19 as amended. Is there any objection to the adoption of the amendment as amended? Hearing none, it is adopted.
We're on the roll here.
You bet. One to go, Representative Croft.
Move number 20.
Object.
Don't have to have much discussion. It, to some members of this body or even the other body.
He was just here, too. In fact, he was here.
Appeared a little constraining. And this would open it up. So, an act regarding boats.
Can you ask why you're opening it up?
Just as a courtesy.
We just want to tax your patience.
And they said you wouldn't be successful.
And like a special bill, right?
And I would object just because I'm rather fond of this very, very secure title.
You are?
Is there any further discussion on amendment number 20? Hearing none, Luann.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Harris.
No. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, okay. No. No.
Representative Lancaster.
No.
Representative Whitaker.
No.
Representative Bundy.
How am I supposed to vote on this?
No. Representative Croft.
Yes.
Representative Davies.
Yes.
Representative Mulder.
No.
Representative Williams.
No.
2A, 7A.
So amendment number 20 has failed. There was consideration for another amendment as it relates to the small vessels. There was an amendment that was put forward. We put it across to drafting. They suggested that there was going to take a substantial amount of time to try and make that amendment conform. My sense is, in discussing it with the members, that there is a desire to exempt the smaller vessels from this. We'll continue to work on that, 500 or below. So we'll continue to work on that, but rather than hold it up now, we'll continue to work for that. In deference to members, since we did work on 20 amendments, we will hold the bill as opposed to taking final action to move it out today. We will hold it, get the CS back tomorrow so that we can look at it and get some feedback as well if necessary. So are there any other items to come before the committee tonight? I appreciate everybody's patience and tolerance and sense
of humor. Time, 1 hour and 18 minutes, we need 20 amendments.
Not too bad. Better than the budget.
Right.
Representative Williams, what time would you like to start in the morning?
We do have, I think, 9 o'clock. Does that sound good? 8:30?
9.
Well, John.
We start at 8:30. We'll start at 9, so it's
all right. 8:30.
I'll be here at 9.
All right. So we'll notice it for 8:30, which means it is 8:30. It's been noticed.
Well, that's what's
meant. All right, it is noticed for 8:30 tomorrow morning, and everyone's heard the multitude of bills we have on the schedule. With that, we are adjourned for the evening.
John?